Mark Driscoll kicked off stage at men's conference, calling out a suggestive dance. Well, guys, let me just say right off the bat, there is a lot to this story. Oh.
No, you definitely cannot hear this.
You don't think you
can
hear?
Wait, can they hear us?
Hello, hello. Can you hear us?
Let's just make sure.
Sometimes we just got to make sure. Okay. I don't see anyone saying they can't hear us. There's so many layers to this, you guys, and there's been more things that have come out that are very relevant.
You need to turn our knobs up. Oh. I can just tell.
Wow. Guys, how do we sound? Okay, it's really quiet. Hold on.
That's what I thought. Hello, everyone. There we go. That's better.
Better? How do you know? Yep. How can you tell?
Because the green wasn't going when we were talking into the mics.
How's this, guys? Let us know. We just want to make sure, you know, this is part of the fun of going live. It's fun if you make it fun. We good?
Yes.
That's better. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this, a lot of stuff that I think is very relevant to cover, and there might need to be more rebuking up in here than has already happened. So we're going to get to all that. Plus, we have a genuine warning about our upcoming video, our upcoming 24 Hours With episode. Hello?
Oh, thank you.
All that said, let's
talk about it.
Mom brain in full force. I gave you 3 chances to be prepared. Come here, you.
I was reading a comment.
You get a pass. They're asking Morgan about, I see.
The fridge.
Let's hold off on that until.
There will be an update tomorrow.
Or we can do the Q&A after we get to the meat.
Yes. Continue.
All right. You guys, let's just dive right in. You've seen by now. I would reckon 90%, you guys can weigh in the live chat, 90% of our audience has probably seen this Mark Driscoll stronger men's conference and what people are calling a strip show, male stripper at this men's conference. Not cool. Mark gets kicked off stage. So let's just recap it really quick.
Great.
A summary of what happened.
I think you literally just recapped it.
I kind of did. There's this stronger men's conference coming out of Missouri. It's something, I guess, that happens each year. Apparently, it's considered like one of the bigger men's conferences.
Okay.
And Mark Driscoll's invited. At the beginning of the conference, you have,
extravagant opening.
It's an extravagant opening. This conference is known, apparently, before this. We'll just for the sake of the video, call him a stripper right now. We'll call him a stripper right now. For the sake of the video, there's going to be some further discussion on that. Before him, I think there was like monster trucks.
what kind of conference is this?
It's
about Jesus or
masculine men's conference.
Oh, brother.
I saw a, and I have it here, but hold off on it right now. It's, they put like a kind of promotional video out, and it's just like high energy. You see like men boxing. I want to say there was even perhaps like some boxing that went on there. It's, I guess they're trying to embody
man
Christian testosterone.
How is that Christian? I think it's just testosterone. Don't put Christian on that. That's just testosterone.
Have you read, what's that one really popular song? Not popular.
Have I read a song?
Not song. Popular book. John Eldridge. Man, Born to be a Man, Living to be a Man.
Yeah, I totally read that.
You did?
Yeah.
You did? Somebody in the comments help me. You guys know what I'm talking about. There is something beautiful that coincides Christianity being a masculine man.
Okay, great. Not against masculine men, don't get me wrong.
Wild at heart. Thank you, Zach. Anyway, so this conference is happening. You got this intro. I'm about to play a clip. We got a number of clips we're going to be playing, guys. We want to lay it out there and really show what's happening here and the way that this is developed. You got this guy, and I actually saw it on Twitter, X, 2 days ago, someone made a post and it was showing some of this guy's act, if you will. Why are you smiling?
Maddie said, and then Jesus rode in on a monster truck.
Maddie, this is serious.
Continue.
This is serious. You got the this. So I saw on X, it was like multiple screens. One was this guy doing his dance that we're about to show you some of. And then another screen, I played it. It was Mark Driscoll that we're about to get to, just briefly calling it out. And then another screen, the pastor rebuking Mark Driscoll. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, Morgan, play. And I don't, you guys know, like we're sensitive to our audience. I don't feel like you guys can't watch this. I don't feel like I need to give you like, guys, turn your heads. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know yourself, but it's like a 30-second clip of what they played at the beginning of this men's, Stronger Men's Conference. You should be able to see it up there, Morgan. Go to, yeah, sword. It's a sword dance. We'll call it a sword dance featuring pole.
Stronger Cam?
Nope.
Paul Sword Dance.
There it is.
Oh, Pole Sword Dance.
Play it. Morgan, just give me your completely honest reaction to that.
So boring. Obviously, it was just the beginning. That was weird. Not because it was sensual, but just like, wait. Just knowing that this is happening at a men's Christian conference is so over the top, dramatic, and weird. That's just weird to me.
So the post I saw, and I would kind of disagree with you a little bit, Morgan, kind of your, I guess, initial reaction was like, it was boring.
Yeah.
I actually did not find it boring.
That clip that we just watched, he literally just like.
Oh, well, okay. So then he proceeds. Okay. That maybe he proceeds to put this sword in his mouth, climb up the pole, like super high, flips around, and then like goes back down the pole really quickly.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. Here's the post that I saw that it says it's got 2.1 million views, and it's the one that I think like everybody saw early on when this story was breaking. It says, mega church has strip show-like performance at men's conference. Guest speaker Mark Driscoll spoke out against it and was kicked off stage. Unbelievable that any church would allow this. Reason number 538 not to attend a mega church. Among that video, and it shows more, there's this screen that I didn't pull up. There actually is a pretty suggestive looking picture, and it's an article from 2016 that says, exclusive, how a dirt poor bad boy from a sleepy Moldovan town became a seedy Vegas stripper before wowing millions as Britain's Got Talent's daredevil sword swallower. And there's a picture of him doing his male stripper striptease stuff. So yeah, not good. This guy. Okay, so this is, I guess, where it gets interesting. I'm trying to kind of like decide the sequential order of all this. Morgan, you said that kind of what we just saw there bored you a little bit. So many Christians were having just their reaction to this performance was kind of what Mark Driscoll's about to get to. But I just want to share, can I just be completely honest?
Of course.
And I saw Isaiah Saldivar post a picture of it and kind of said, like, I don't care what anyone says, this is demonic. Mm-hmm. And so many others agreed. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to choose my words here. I don't want to get canceled.
Lay it it out. Lay it out. Say it.
He had his shirt off. Okay. I don't think that's a red flag. I did not see any dancing that reminded me of, I guess my thing here is, what I watched there was an acrobatic show that you would see in a circus. To me, that is what I would equate it to. Should there be an acrobatic show that you would see in a circus at the beginning of a men's conference? That can be debated, but that's more of my reaction to it. Not that we're watching an occultist ritual that's demonic and...
Yeah, I'm tired of the whole, everything's demonic, I'm sorry, I love Isaiah, but to anyone who's saying that it's demonic, I think Isaiah shared a picture of the dude, like, upside down with his arms out, and it could look like an upside down cross, but he was literally sliding down with a sword in his mouth. Like, it's not, you could capture literally me walking down the street and be like, demonic, because you caught me in a weird pose on accident, like, you just gotta stop.
Well, and then those who are saying, and guys, there's room here for you guys to disagree. You can vehemently disagree with Morgan and I. Fine. Yes. We welcome that. You guys can have your opinion. This is my honest opinion. Mm-hmm. Those who are saying, oh, it was so sexually suggestive as this stripper doing this. Okay, let's just call it what it is. He's a former stripper, to my knowledge. And that the article that was shared there on X, 2016. To my knowledge, he is not still a stripper. He's transitioned into what you would call whatever that was. Mm-hmm. I would call that kind of a mixture of acrobatic, something you'd see in a circus, jujitsu. I think he's like kind of a popular jujitsu guy that does this sword swallowing stuff, which is an act in itself.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're okay with the boxing match that supposedly happened before this,
where the guys were shirtless.
Why aren't you okay with this where the men are shirtless? If you're not okay with any of the men being shirtless, that's one thing. But if you're totally fine with them boxing shirtless, but you're not okay with this sword guy shirtless, like, come on.
Maybe.
And it's because you know that in his past, he was a stripper. That's just stupid. No offense.
I think that it can be argued, and again, I'm kind of belaboring this point because there's a lot more to cover. It can be argued, why have someone who, let's say he hasn't done any of the strip teasing stuff for 6 years. Why have someone kick off a men's conference? And again, to my knowledge, I think he was maybe like one of three kind of acrobatic acts. Why have someone that was a former stripper? That can be debated, and perhaps that absolutely should be debated.
I mean...
But
are they looking into everybody's past? That's a little weird.
No, I'm
typing. All right, I want a swords guy. Swords guy's near me. And this guy pops up.
There was one part. There was literally just from me watching it. There was one part in his act that I was like, eh, didn't need that. It was when he was about to put the sword in his mouth and like let it go down his throat really far. That's crazy. And at the beginning, before he did it, he licked the sword in a very exaggerated way that I could see being, it felt sensual, but it also was just a very showman's thing. If he needs to get the sword moist before it goes down, I would say there's other ways to do that. So anyway, all right. And actually pull up, because again, we've run with this narrative, so many of us, that this stripper, he did this strip-like thing. Pull up his Instagram. I have a picture of his Instagram here, and you can kind of see like the beginning of some of his posts.
Can't see.
Just click on one. You'll figure it out. Yeah, there you go. His name is Alex Magla. There's nothing about stripping in there. Do you see anything about stripping?
No.
So it seems that he's repurposed himself.
Mm-hmm. Right. He clearly is not wanting to be known as a stripper. But more as 15 times got talent. How many times can you go on America's Got Talent?
It's a great question.
Before they say no more, buddy.
Very popular. Got Talent. Olympic performer. What I saw in that.
Jitsu black belt. Yeah.
We can debate if that should have been at the beginning of the conference. But what I saw personally was a very impressive physical feat. Mm-hmm. Of acrobatics.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's continue though. one more thing I'll say about that. I've had two people, one guy actually texted me that's a fellow influencer, and we're going to kind of get to this. I mean, maybe I should say this right now. Some of you guys are really not liking probably what you're hearing from me right now. I'm just trying to keep it 100, and I know that Christians can kind of be notorious for taking a story, throwing it up in a very intense way, and then the Christian masses just run with it. I've probably done this in the past. I'm trying to just kind of like slow my roll a little bit. I've had another YouTube guy, and then I saw someone else post that this guy is actually claiming to be a Christian and perhaps has become a Christian recently. And so just tuck that away. We can discuss, you know, what is a Christian? How sincere is his Christian faith? I believe he goes to a church in LA. How sincere is that Christian faith? Has he renounced and repented for his former stripper things? That can all be debated, but that's just an interesting element to all this. All right. Let's get into the good stuff. Play Mark Driscoll's rebuke of the situation. So Mark Driscoll's getting up. He is going to be talking about, to my knowledge from watching some of it, Elijah, Ahab, and Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit. He starts talking about it, and then pretty quickly this happens.
Where?
Driscoll calls out, two up, three up, one, two, one more. There it is.
My vision is disappearing while being pregnant.
Apparently so.
This, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in a strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus cried, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
That was tense. That was tense. And there's kind of another angle of it where then it shows Pastor John getting up, and we'll see what he's about to say. Morgan, thoughts?
I don't know. The pole, taking off of the shirt again, it's like, okay, well, the guy's stepping in, I don't know how they did it, but a lot of the times the guy's stepping into a boxing ring, walk around.
Well, what I was about
to, their shirt off.
One note to that point, Morgan, there are things that I watch that to me I'm just like, wow, that was too much. I mean, I don't even want to start naming stuff because then the haters or whoever will start going after me, but there are things that I'm just like, certain dances. I used to go to talent shows, and sometimes I'd sing in them, or my sister would sing, and there'd be a person doing whatever kind of interpretive dance, and sometimes I'd kind of be like, that was like a little much. There's all kinds of levels, so I don't know. Anyway, continue, Morgan.
You know, if he had started out without his shirt on at all, would that have made a difference? If a pole wasn't involved, would that make a difference? When, like, okay, yes, obviously strippers and poles are correlated, but, like, that doesn't mean that every pole...
Strippers and poles are correlated, but so are acrobats at circuses and poles.
Right. That doesn't mean that every what pole is a bad thing.
What if we rewrite the stars?
So, yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, are we going way too far with this analogy of the spirit of Jezebel is in the room?
When I first saw this post on Twitter, and obviously that clip right there is like intense because we're not really used to seeing a pastor up on stage speaking in front of a lot of men, and then another pastor who his name is Pastor John, who I guess is currently the lead pastor of that church that hosts the men conference. He starts saying, you could hear him say,
you're out of line.
You're out of line. Stop. So, and we'll hear it again here in the next clip. Mm-hmm. That's intense. I saw, and my initial reaction was, again, just seeing the way the post was set up. Well done, Mark. Well done being bold. That was the right move. And I'm okay. Sometimes that needs to happen. And in a way, it's kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. Now that more has come out, and we're going to get some more, I have had to rethink some things a little bit. And I just present it to you. Before we play the clip of Pastor John, his response to Mark, Morgan, pull up real quick. This was something that a fellow YouTube friend sent me when he saw we were going to be covering this video. He sent this and he said, this is information that you might want to consider. This was an article by Dr. Michael Brown, who I appreciate. I appreciate a lot of what he presents on his platform. In this article, look at this. He says, after midnight, I received a text from another pastor who had been at the event telling me that the performance in question was part of the pre-service entertainment for the men, which had already featured a monster truck demonstration. Yes, this was quite a men's conference. The pastor explained that there were three acrobatic performances taking place simultaneously. Virtually none of the attendees saw the sword swallower's pole performance as sexual until Driscoll made his inflammatory, in quotes, comments about it. That's interesting to me. He acknowledged, but of course that could be in the moment you're just kind of jaded, and then later on it's like, wow, that was terrible. We'll give room for that, but it is an interesting fact. This is more interesting. He acknowledged that the church leaders who invited the sword swallower were not familiar with the dude's past prior to inviting him, which obviously was an oversight, but that he was now a born-again Christian attending a church in Los Angeles. Again, you should probably do a little more research on who you're bringing into the conference. But even if they had done research and seen however many years ago in his past he was a stripper, does that mean that he is not allowed to come if he's a born-again believer, especially if he's renounced that stuff, which I don't know if he has. But to me,
I would assume that he has.
Renounced it?
Yes!
I don't know. Because there are very lukewarm Christians that live very worldly lives.
I mean, yeah, but he's not posting about it at all on his social media. His social media is filled with his sword content.
I think that's valid information. And then he goes on to say, but the question remains, if you used to be a male stripper and Jesus changed your life, why are we stripping off your shirt at a Christian men's conference, not to mention using what looks like a stripper pole, so forth. Fair questions, but I think that this article by Dr. Brown, very interesting insight that some of the just these posts going around are failing to address. Mm-hmm. And it is also interesting, and the friend who sent me this information, one thing he brought up was, he said, assuming this guy is a born-again Christian, he's a born-again Christian doing this acrobatic act, and suddenly at this church event, and suddenly he gets called out in an intense way, being equated with the Jezebel spirit by a huge pastor. Mm-hmm. That kind of hurts. And I mean, take that how you will, but that kind of stings to someone who's a new Christian, who he may not
to say
he may not be convicted.
There's not a place that where as a new Christian, old Christian, like, we shouldn't be called out. But yeah, like, that would be pretty shocking to be, like, sitting in the audience, like,
I just did a great performance. And then suddenly you're put in the same line as the Jezebel spirit. Mm-hmm. Stuff to think about. I'm excited to get you guys to weigh in the comment section, because I know there are going to be people that have wildly different responses to this. Again, I just got to keep it real with you guys. This is just the way I'm viewing things right now. Also, Morgan, you kind of mentioned the Mark Driscoll in his calling out, in his addressing this situation. He talked about the Jezebel spirit, and you were kind of a little...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to under-spiritualize things, but I don't want to over-spiritualize things either. And I know some people are on the side of, I'd rather over-spiritualize everything than under-spiritualize and find myself in ruins. And to me, I'm like, I'd rather under-spiritualize some things. But I don't know. I didn't get the Jezebel vibe. Again, just with like, okay, just because a pole is involved and he's shirtless, is it appropriate at a men's conference? We could talk about that. But is it Jezebel spirit / like demonic? I personally feel like no, it was not. And that was being a little dramatic.
Keeping it 100, I agree. I feel like some people kind of overdo the Jezebel spirit. However, I know Mark Driscoll has, I think he wrote a book recently that he's been posting about kind of after this has all taken place. And perhaps that was one of the reasons he was going to be preaching on that at the conference. I'm sure he's done a lot of study. We had an interesting conversation with Isaiah Saldivar on this. I think some people can kind of take it too far, the whole Jezebel spirit thing. I know that it is, you know, there's a person named literally a Jezebel in the Old Testament. Revelations talks about Jezebel, but I think some people can kind of just stretch it and make it a bigger thing than it is personally, but I'm willing to have those discussions and see how people end up at that place. Also, I noticed that Mark mentioned this man was ascending up a pole, which is kind of like a signifies pride, where Jesus didn't ascend, but he descended to us. Mm-hmm. But it's like Jesus also ascended.
Yeah, he literally ascended into the clouds.
So I just don't know. Like, I just don't know. I'm not trying to listen. I genuinely do appreciate Mark Driscoll's boldness. Mm-hmm. I do. And I think more Christians need to be bold. But again, if I'm just looking at what is transpiring here, I'm not necessarily totally jiving with all of it. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Let's play Pastor John's response and really rebuke of Pastor Mark.
He swallowed a sword. And Jesus Christ, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. You're done. Thank you.
That was intense. I felt like, I mean, did you hear the people like in the crowd?
Yeah, how could you not? Those testosterone men.
Don't you dare blame this on men.
Fully testosterone-y.
Well, they had just seen monster trucks and boxing and sword swallowing, so their testosterone was raging. No, I think that actually happened the day before, because Mark Driscoll said that he couldn't sleep well and was praying for them throughout the night.
Whatever. So either way, they were filled up on testosterone. Yeah, that was just really intense. The guys like screaming out. One specific voice, I feel like you can hear. He's like, "You're out of line."
So they were obviously not happy.
Not happy that Pastor John kicked Mark off.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what it sounded like from that video.
At least that guy, that really, really loud guy. wasn't happy.
But you could also kind of see people, it appeared from that video, people getting up and leaving.
Yeah.
And when the guy was like, told Pastor Mark that he was out of line, someone said, "You're out of line."
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
It's really weird. I would be super uncomfortable if I was sitting in there. I'd be like,
So we're continuing to kind of add, because. In the packaging of this, what?
Roman Panda said, if that was all women in the room, they would be dead silent watching that happen. It's so true. Like, the men, like, jump in and have to give their opinions and are like, no, doesn't have to be. Women would have been like.
It reminded me of, like.
And then we would have all talked about it afterwards.
And cried about it. You guys would have had a good cry.
Like, we need therapy.
It reminded me of Beauty and the Beast. When Gaston's getting all the crowd riled up to go hunt the beast, and that song is like, and they're holding their pitchforks. That's what it reminded me of.
Literally.
Listen, we're just kind of adding stuff as we go. What I was thinking is we would like talk about it and then do like the additional stuff that's come out after, but it's just all
5 hours. No,
what I'm saying is it's all kind of just coming out naturally as we go. Great. Another interesting thing I saw that Abby? Oh yeah, Abby said, I would love to hear the sword performer's perspective on all this. Funny enough, he actually did make a statement, and I'll just boil it down to literally like one sentence. His whole thing was like, guys, this was not a strip type performance. It was a performance of skill and strength, which I felt like was appropriate for this type of conference. Mm-hmm. That was his reaction to it. And he said that if people don't, he kind of maybe could have been a little more empathetic or understanding to people who are having a reaction. But he was kind of like, if you can't see that this was a performance of skill rather than like a stripping, then that's on you.
He could be right. He could be wrong. We'll never know until we die and go to heaven and ask God about this very specific thing.
Definitely. That's a great point, Morgan. Morgan, I feel like I didn't honestly know how this was going to go, but I feel like I'm just like getting on everybody in this video. You feel like I am? Because I'm about to get on Pastor John. So I got on Pastor Mark first, and now I'm getting on Pastor John.
That's great. You go for it.
Pastor John used. Let it out, baby.
Continue.
How you feeling, by the way?
I might not sound amazing, but I feel much better than I did last week. I'll tell you that much.
I'm so glad to hear that. My voice is starting to get a little raspy.
No, it's literally not at all.
It is.
Nope.
I gotta drink my prebiotic soda.
Oh, goodness.
Drink with me, my love. I was gonna toast. Oh, that's good. You saw that Pastor John, in his rebuke or calling out, telling Mark, you're done, you're out of line, Mark, you're done, mm-hmm. He used Matthew 18.
Yes.
Talking about if a brother sins against you, go to him privately. I don't love that. I just don't love you making that your, guys, he's out of line because Matthew 18. If Pastor Mark feels like I mean, because this was done in front of a ton of people.
Yeah, it's like one rebuke to one person is really not enough in this situation.
Right.
It's kind of what I'm thinking. He's thinking.
You guys already heard me say that I didn't necessarily love Pastor Mark's rebuke of the situation, but I don't love using Matthew 18 to call out Mark. You saw Peter when he was in sin by the way he was treating the Gentile believers, and he was not treating them in a way that was showing that you guys can read that story. He was being hypocritical. Peter was being hypocritical. This is after Jesus ascended, and you had Paul, literally, it said, I called him out publicly. I called him out in the presence of others because what he did, what Peter was doing, was impacting those around. So there's a perfect example that I would say this was impacting. If Pastor Mark felt like this was should be called out, a lot of people had already seen it. It perhaps deserved a public addressing.
Yeah.
And also, Pastor Mark's grievance was at the Jezebel spirit that he perceived to be taking place. He wasn't rebuking the pastor of the church.
Right.
At least that's not what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of my thing on that. Here's an interesting layer to all this that you may be, those of you who have kind of seen this circulating, have not seen yet. There is a video that has surfaced of both Pastor John and Pastor Mark coming back out, and they are on stage discussing what transpired and really just building back the bridge of unity.
Which is good.
Some people are not real happy about that because they're saying that Pastor Mark, yeah, so it's interesting. But I watched the 30-minute long chunk. I thought it was decent. Like, it was...
I mean, I would much rather have that than it's like Mark goes back to his church, John stays at his church, and then the next Sunday they each talk about it separately, but not together. And, like, you don't see that, like, some, like, reconciliation and unity, yeah, like Paul said. Because, yeah, I think, you know, so many people saw the calling out. They need to see the other side too. So I think that was totally the right thing to do.
And I agree. From what I saw, we're about to get to another, unfortunately, kind of spicy angle thing that happened. Just calm down.
Goodness,
you're okay.
Gracious.
You're okay.
This is so packed.
I told people it was going to be packed. I knew it was going to be packed. I thought it was 30 minute long clip. I agree with you. Like, really? We're going to let that cause John to, or Pastor Mark, to go back to his church?
Yeah,
he had just been rebuked and called out for rebuking, so he goes back and there's just, it's unnecessary division.
Yeah.
Somebody, a car just floored it outside.
I mean, literally my biggest pet peeve ever.
That's got to be a duo exhaust. Yeah, it was a good chunk. I'm glad that happened. Watching that, I was like, you know, I may not agree with every single thing that's being said, but good job, guys. And praise God for going after unity rather than, and I think that really was good for the crowd to see, yeah, that, especially the guys that were about to turn,
yeah,
into Gaston, the villagers with Gaston going after the beast. That was good for them to see that.
Yes.
Then, Morgan, I don't think you've seen this. At some point, I guess during when they both came back on stage, this little clip took place. It's like a 30-second clip, and I, once again, am very disappointed with the way this transpired. Man, yeah, sorry. I just, so much disappointment. I did not anticipate. It's, yeah, go down 2. Right there.
Mark, you may agree with me. You may not agree with either one of us. But here's the thing, you have to be careful that you do not criticize people who have the anointing of God on their life. Better to say nothing. Because what happens is, once you begin to criticize somebody who has the anointing on them, you're in the flesh. And once you're in the flesh, then you're moving toward unbelief. And once you move toward unbelief, then you live a barren life spiritually.
The Archon, I agree with the Archon sentiments here. The Archon says, what, in all caps, red flag. Michaela Huffman, red flag. People are writing red flag.
Yeah, Paul and I have like straight up PTSD trauma from when people say that crap. Admit it, we do.
I do. I refuse to admit that I'm a victim.
It's not a victim. We just got some PTSD.
For the record, I don't know when that exactly happened. Because
literally doesn't matter.
I watched like the third. Well, I like to really feel good about the context. I watched the 30 minute kind of where they came back out, reconciled, talked through some stuff, and I didn't see that. So I don't know if it happened before or after. Nevertheless, you guys saw that clip, and that makes me, I guess my first question is, where is that biblically that you can't, I'm someone that's literally. Got, what did he say? You have to be careful that you do not criticize people who have the anointing of God in their life or on their life. And then he proceeds to say, what's going to happen if you do? Show me in scripture where you don't criticize people that have the anointing of God in, on their lives. Show me. It makes me, that little portion was so bad in my opinion. Am I overreacting?
No.
Am I overreacting, chat?
It's so stupid. Like, is he saying that because of the men who were in the audience being like, no, you're out of line? Like, what made him be like, I need to say this? Do not call out the anointed ones, me. How dare you yell at me?
Well, that's what it sounded like. But again, we don't have the full context to know exactly. I mean, he mentioned Mark, or we don't have the full context, but just from that 40-second clip, let's just take it for what it was. He says, maybe again, he's like just really trying to, I don't know what he's doing there, whether it's what you're saying, or he's just like, unity at all costs. Unity at all costs. Don't be calling, hold that back. Don't be calling people out, because that's going to create division. That's the problem with unity at all costs. Jesus didn't come to bring peace but a sword, and look at that verse in context, but it's the unity at all costs is not biblical. There are...
But I don't even think that's what he's like. He's not talking about unity there. Like, that's just like... I feel like he was trying to put the people in the audience in their place of being like, you guys don't have a right to call me or Mark out. Like... Because we're the anointed ones. Like, we can maybe hold each other accountable. Maybe that's still questionable.
And I guess what I'm saying is...
But don't you dare.
Calling people out is a layer of unity.
Right.
Unity is not avoiding calling out someone who's got the anointing. That's that's cultish.
Yeah, that's cultish.
And I saw someone comment...
He was way out of line.
I saw someone comment that's like a cult. If you can't call out anyone who's got the anointing, suddenly the pastor or these head figures that have the anointing, they can't be touched, and that's how abuse runs rampant.
Yeah, exactly. So I just don't appreciate that. I mean, just, you know, we've had that said to us of like, you cannot, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Like, we had questions about Benny Hinn, and like, we couldn't even talk about it with the person that we were talking to because he was like, no, do not touch the Lord's anointed. Don't even go there. And we were like, whoa, like, that's crazy. And like, what's going to happen? Like, is God going to strike us down? No, he's not. And I don't appreciate people putting that type of fear in other people. It's ridiculous. Like, we are allowed to ask questions. God is far bigger than our questions. And we're allowed to call people out because that's what unites us.
You see,
in the end,
scripture warned against gossip. We want to be careful about that. And again, you know, I did not like the way that pastor worded it at all. No. I don't know that pastor's background, his theology. I've heard a little bit about that church and some of kind of their theology. So I'm assuming that reflects him as well. But I don't know a lot. I don't want to get too into that. There is something to be said about warning against gossip, about false witness, about the precedence of, you know, if you have something against a leader, going to them. And the, like you even said, the reaction that we heard when Mark Driscoll was kind of called out and someone's rah, rah, like that, that's not good.
Right.
That's not a good response.
No.
But if you're just, what he said there is not landing well with me. No. We should be able to go. We should be able to, again, the perfect example. I don't see scripturally, I mean, you see, don't touch the Lord's anointed, where David was telling one of his men not to strike down dead King Saul. That's, you know, that's the most significant verse in regards to touching the Lord's anointed. Mm-hmm. I don't see scriptural precedents for what he just said. I do see scriptural precedents for calling out fellow believers in a good way. Yeah. So, wasn't a fan of that. All that said, another layer is just the over-the-top entertainment factor that so many churches now seem to be embracing. And I think of Transformation Church with Mike Todd. I think of the Easter services and these other churches. I think of the at the movies, and it just is like, do we really need that? Do the American Christians really need that?
No, definitely not.
You feel like that's an issue, and that's an issue that this conference should be called out for doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an issue, and it's become such an issue that people won't go to church if it's not a full-on entertainment episode of something. Like, they're like, oh, that church is just so boring. All they do is read the Bible and talk about what the Bible says. I need more than that. And that's a tragedy. That's truly a tragedy that, like, we just, as Americans, are so gross like that.
Gross.
It's gross.
You call it gross?
Just like, come on, people. Like, it's the word of God. It should be, like, the most fascinating. And even when it's not that fascinating, it's, we know that it breathes life. That is much more life-giving than a monster truck rally.
I think that's something that absolutely deserves to be addressed. However, we're talking about a men's conference that looks like part of the appeal of this is kind of the testosterone entertainment factor. And I am okay with some entertainment factor being thrown in too.
I mean, a conference is maybe a little different.
Conference is a little bit, think of a women's conference, and they want there to be high energy and, you know, inspiration.
They go too far with that.
Perhaps so.
I show up and I'm like,
I'm Debbie Downer over here.
I just walk in too. I'm out. Chant with me. I am she. I am she.
I am worthy.
I went to a conference where I had,
I am worthy.
Had to do that, and I didn't chant. I just was like, what does this have to do with literally I am she?
Wait, stop.
Literally.
Stop. You guys, the crowd literally chanted, I am she?
Yeah. And I was like,
that's bad.
Can't chant to this.
That's epic.
Yeah.
Would you all chant, ladies in the chat, would you all chant at a conference, I am she?
I mean, what does it even mean?
Men in the chat, would you chant, I am he? I'm okay with some of the theatrics at a conference, especially if it's like 2 days long. Like, add some of that, add some of the fun. And that's why I'm a little bit more okay with a acrobatic performance. I'm not appalled by it, I guess. Mm-hmm. That said, just the larger picture of churches engaging in just feeding their congregation entertainment goes too far. It just does, especially certain churches.
Yeah.
That's all that said, you guys, that was a lot on that specific topic.
A lot.
That was too much. That was a ton. Well,
it's too much.
It was a ton because there's been other things that have unfolded. Comment, you guys, right now in the chat. I want to read some of your all's comments. Be honest with us. We'll give Morgan and I a break from racking our brains, coming up with so many layers. I mean, there were so many layers to that. What do you guys think? Right now, comments, hit us up. Where are you guys at with it? And give this video a thumbs up if you enjoyed that gigantic spiel.
Spiel.
And then we'll get into our warning about our upcoming video.
Warning.
You and I both, Morgan, snobs, I guess. Cassie says you guys are snobs when it comes to women's conferences, I suppose.
You know, it is what it is. No, Olga, at the movies is literally a nationwide thing. In churches.
Soren says, at my church's women event, all we did was play Guess the Bible Story with emojis. That's it, not a show, spectacle. Guess the Bible Story with emojis. That sounds fun. Mo says, I just probably wouldn't go to a women's conference. Step of Faith Reaction says, Paul and Morgan, I like how you guys are talking about this. Not everything is black and white, and we can further break down and discuss.
I do feel like a lot of people, and we've done this in the past, we're guilty of it. Online, though, a lot of Christians, you know, they've got a niche, they've got a certain type of platform, they're known for talking and acting a certain way, and so because of that, they run with certain things like this, like other events that have happened in the past in the Christian world, and they're just so black or white on this, and it's like there's no bending. You cannot see it a different way. If you don't see it this way, you're in the wrong. You're missing it. You're dumb. You're not Christian enough. You might be possessed, like literally all this stuff. And yeah, sadly, Paul and I are guilty of kind of coming down super hardcore in the past. And like, that's something that I feel like the Lord is growing us in, of like seeing all the sides, trying to see all the sides and be like, okay, Lord, where do you want us to fall on this? There are absolutely things that you should be very black and white, crystal clear on, but there's a lot that you don't need to be so black and white on.
I agree. And Pastor John actually addressed that in the 30 minutes where they both came out on stage. He talked about that. And Pastor Mark Driscoll apologized for not coming to John first and bringing it to his attention first. And I mean, I think that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been, especially if they had, which John said that they had talked for 30 minutes and Mark had not brought it up at all. That would have been ideal. Bring it up to him and say, here's how I'm feeling. I feel like that was the Jezebel spirit. That was wildly inappropriate. Talk through it first and decide how you want to proceed.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Archon says, Mark Driscoll has no feet to stand on. He seeks attention and is very weak on actual scripture.
Whoa.
Morgan, do you feel
those
like...
Those are fighting words.
Those are fighting words. Do you feel like that the Archon, that comment was warranted?
I have no idea. I don't honestly know enough about Mark Driscoll to confidently be like, yeah or no.
Yeah, I would be in that same boat. I'll hear a decent amount of stuff that he says, posts, and I will agree with it. I do know, you know, he's got kind of a reputation. The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast mm-hmm. came out. And I think some maybe would kind of put him into the same vein as like a, who's the pastor out of Nashville? Come out in Jesus' name.
Greg Locke,
which maybe is just like a little.
People put Mark Driscoll and Greg Locke.
I think some would. Is coming across as very passionate, very kind of intense.
Greg
sometimes
Locke is way scarier, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. Again, I don't know enough. To your point, the Archon, I have not investigated enough into Mark Driscoll. I tend to agree with most of the stuff I see in post.
Very interesting.
First super chat of the stream. Thank you, the Archon. What's he saying up here in the super chat?
P&M, I like how you guys are talking about this. Thank you, the Archon.
Archon, thank you for your super chat. Morgan, can I be honest?
Yes.
I've liked this breakdown, but I almost feel like it's been a little overly negative. What do you think? Honest reaction. Guys in the chat, in the chat. Because every video is going to be unique and different. Every video is going to be... No. I'm not even pushing this on you.
Can't deal with this guy.
No. Hear me out. I'm not like saying put it on you. I would say like I've been the one that's kind of spearheading the conversation. And I feel like just naturally as this has flowed out, looking at my notes, I've been a little bit on like the negative train. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Sometimes how can you be positive?
I mean, that's true too.
Goodness gracious. It's been kind of a downer, says Zach. And then we have Sarah who says, nah.
Soren says, negative, but not because of you guys, haha. It is what it is.
Yeah, I just feel like there are just some topics that are like kind of negative. But then we brought it back because they united and we're happy for that.
I am. I mean, again, I saw some people bashing that when they both came back out and were talking. I didn't feel like that really needed to be bashed. I was glad to see it.
Yeah,
so I'm positive.
I don't see why people would bash up.
I'm back in the positives. Come here, baby girl. Hey, all right. Goodness. Our warning.
All right, yeah. Can we give the stinking warning? We've been on here for 56 minutes. Goodness.
No. Gracious. We got here late.
No, but we've been on here for 56 minutes, yeah, bubs. We got on here late. That doesn't change how long we've been on.
McKay Luffman says, I thought it was good, LOL. Negative aspects, but not too negative.
Thank you, Michaela.
I'm glad to hear that.
You are trustworthy.
And real quick, shout out to our patrons who are here live. Our patrons that support us. All this is just going to be as a shout out. Thank you all. You guys seriously mean so much to us. And with 24 hours with episodes to come, your all support is so needed. And it's amazing. And you guys are the true MVPs. Thank you all for what you are to this channel and continuing to make this possible. So now, speaking of 24 hours with Morgan, I think I wrote in the title a warning about our next video.
Okay.
Some of you guys that are our patrons know who our next two episodes are with.
And both that have already been filmed.
Yeah, we got due. We literally hit two in the same week. It was an insane week. Insane.
Terrible.
I wasn't going to say terrible. I would just say insane. It was actually really fun.
It was terrible for me because I was very sick.
On one of them.
Yeah, I didn't even... Yes.
We'll get into that.
Yes.
At another time. Okay. We have the next two episodes, which are both, I would say, going to be the most controversial ones yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I'm focusing on right now, the warning that I'm giving you is with a female. So that will kind of distinguish the two. If you guys are like real insiders into all this, like I said, the patrons, you guys know. The next one that I really hope to have it out at the end of next week. It is with a female, and I wanted to give you guys this is just genuine. This is just genuine talk right here. I wanted to give you guys a warning for this episode.
Let's hear it.
When we announced and showed some footage of this person, this female, to our patrons and even to a friend or two close to us, there was kind of some similar reaction, and that's one of the reasons I feel inclined to give this warning. What was kind of some of the overarching reaction, Morgan?
What? Is she... Are you guys crazy?
And not in a, like, this person comes across like they're not a Christian. Like, they're absolutely on the fringes, a heretic. None of that so much as just...
There's no way that what she is doing in her ministry is, like, truly beneficial to the body of Christ.
So you say that's kind of been, like, the initial...
Yeah.
They maybe have seen viral clips from this person. This person has some viral clips out there that if you just watch them at face value, your jaw would be on the floor. Like, you could be shocked and have... I would just say, here's kind of why I'm saying this. I would just ask that when you see the trailer that I'm about to start creating, I've been editing this video, when you see the minute-long trailer and you see some of the stuff that is this woman says in the trailer, I would ask that you would not just be like, I'm going to write this person off, but rather, I'm going to watch this video and actually see who this person is, what this person's message truly is. And I think, and I'm not telling you what to think, I'm not telling you at the end of the day how you're going to feel about this person, but I think you're going to likely be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, with any guest that we have, when you watch a trailer of any movie, of any TV show, of any YouTube video, of any 24 Hours With episode, like, obviously there are going to be some, like, jaw-dropping, hopefully, clips, because that's what brings people in, that sparks curiosity. Like, there's a point and a purpose in how you edit a trailer for something.
Or if they just go and, like, type in a person's name and see the viral clips.
That too. I mean, you know, they're viral for a reason. But then, like, a lot of the other stuff that people, that, you know, she says and does isn't viral because it's not super crazy or wild or intense, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think our hopes with all of the guests that we have is that you would watch the entire episode, because the purpose of this series is unifying the body of Christ and is finding people that we may or may not agree totally with their ministry. We might totally disagree with their ministry or whatever, just their, how they live their lives. But, like, can we come to the end of the episode and be like, yeah, we're brothers and sisters in Christ? And there might be episodes where we come to an end of an episode with someone and be like, I don't think we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Peace out. Like, who knows? So, yeah, get ready.
But the desire is to see where there can be unity with this person.
Yeah.
And see where maybe we've had some perceptions of them that aren't necessarily whole and true and well-founded.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you guys are going to have to just come up with your perspective on your own, but just give it a chance is all I'm asking.
Yes.
Just give it a chance is all I'm asking. All right. Let's get to some fun Q&A. Let's get to some Q&A. I know Morgan is beat. So we'll keep the Q&A portion short, baby. We'll keep the Q&A portion short. Mark Moore, who, shout out to, again, our patrons. Mark knows who our next guest is. And Mark says, do not have your kids watch the next 24 Hours With episode. Is Mark onto something with that statement, Morgan?
Yes. This is definitely rated 18 and up.
If I have to bleep some stuff, I will.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like, guys, this is another reason to become a patron. Well, the 24 tier patron, especially if you really like this project. I get that it's not everybody can swing that, but yeah, you guys get the inside scoop. Because I would imagine some of you guys are like, what? Like, who is this person? Mark Moore's over here saying, don't let your kids watch the next episode. yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this is the first one where it's like, yeah, I mean, this really maybe isn't kid-friendly, yeah.
Yeah, like, I probably don't want Luca watching it because he repeats literally everything, and there are some words he don't need to be repeating right now, okay?
I would say this is probably like a, yeah, strong, yeah, PG-13, for sure.
Mm.
But the funny thing is, this person, it's not like kind of a loose Christian. that like is just really edgy and is just out there cussing. And you know, I think of maybe a Tim, what's his name, the dude in the bass, Tim Ross, who will say some stuff that's just like, what did he just say? And he's just really kind of edgy.
I have no idea who that
is. He was the one who said that Jesus was a stripper because he stripped on the cross, that type of thing. And
so
he,
stupid.
He's preached at Mike Todd's church.
Okay, yeah, I know who that is.
And he's a cursing Christian, if you will. This person is not like that. This person is like super intense and is like radical.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll see what I'm saying. You'll see what I'm saying. There's also humor as well, but
yes.
Michaela Luffman says, honestly, I'm not too against this person or their ministry. It is shocking, but I'm not against it. I'm curious to see a deeper dive than her standard content shows. That's a great comment, Michaela.
Yeesh.
I have never seen you guys looking comfy, BB Real says.
She's never seen us looking comfy?
Are you saying it because we do look comfy now or because we still don't?
We still don't look comfy.
I mean, you look comfy.
Relatively comfy for as comfy as you can be for a pregnant woman, 29 weeks.
Okay, how can I look more comfy?
Oh my goodness, Soren, thank you so much for your super chat.
Aw, Soren.
Not a question, but for Morgan, praying for the rest of your pregnancy and a spirit-filled birth. Thank you, Soren. That was really sweet.
Soren, thank you.
Thank you.
You mean a lot to us. We really appreciate you.
Okay. Says, y'all are so much more progressive than you used to be. I see the growth.
Woo! Morgan, are we more progressive than we used to be?
You're just like so progressive.
Are we more progressive?
You know, everyone should be progressing in their faith.
Choose your words, young lady. Choose your words.
Yeah, but
Kay, I would not say
I wouldn't say we were progressive Christians.
Personally, I would not say that we are more progressive than we used to be. Personally, I would say we are slower to make judgments.
I think we've just grown. The Lord has grown us.
And I hope to make well-rounded critiques of things.
Yes.
And perhaps doing the 24 hours with, like, it has caused us to see other sides a little bit better.
Definitely.
But I would, as far as if it's like a progressive Christian, I would not say that we're, like, have moved in that direction any.
Kay says, yes, that I agree with. Not as judgmental.
All right.
Thank you, Kay. Be Real says, I like it. I am comfy, too, in my fruit pajamas.
Fruit pajamas.
Cute.
Cute.
You know, Kristen Johns is someone that I follow on Instagram and YouTube. I love her. She's great. And she has these pajamas that look so cozy. And there's fruit all over them.
What kind of pajamas are they? Because I feel like there's like
pajamas.
Well, no, I feel like there's like kind of stylish, like cute pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like pajamas. You know what I mean?
They're cute.
Are they?
Does anyone on here happen to know what I'm talking about? They're really cute.
Okay.
They're cozy. They're pants and a shirt.
No, I'd be curious to like.
It's not a raunchy nightgown, babe.
No, I'm curious to see like what you're talking about.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I did not anticipate that being the case.
No, I know that's what you want, though.
What? No, there can be cute pajamas that are cute and not like.
Okay, let me show you actually a pair of pajamas that I want for postpartum. And let's see if you think they're cute.
Or show me like the ones that
Johns
has.
No, these are the ones that I want.
All
right. And these are the ones you shall get me.
Michaela Huffman says, definitely not more progressive, just growing in gentleness and other fruits of the spirit. Now that is a good comment. Did you hear it, Morgan?
Yes. Thank you. Amen.
Michaela Huffman, shout out. You rule. I mean, that's what I hope. That is what I hope. And I hope that for all of us. that we would grow in gentleness and fruits of the Spirit.
What?
So what am I looking at here?
Your pajamas.
Those window things. Are those window curtains? Show the camera. Show the camera.
Guys, they're so cute. My sister-in-law was wearing them on a girls' trip, and they were so cute. And I was like, I need those. They were so soft. They're like silk. And I want them.
So when I see those, my initial thought is, oh, that is like, I could get down with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, okay, so the leg is really like big all the way down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wish there was more taper. I wish.
Guys, we all need to encourage Paul to get behind the wide pants because those are back in, babe. That's the fashion. Okay.
Okay. I saw Pastor Judah Smith, who's like the epitome of fashion, doing it with the wide pant leg, and it was bad.
Okay. On men, it's disgusting, but.
Well, no, but that's what it is. I mean, that's Gen Z, and then older people who are trying to stay with the times. And it's just, I'm not saying all baggier jeans are like bad, but like, I'm just not the biggest fan of a lot of them. I didn't hate those. I really didn't. I wish that there was like a little more taper. I really do like when it's got like a little bit of the elastic kind of.
There's something bougie about them not being tapered. And it's like walking around and you're just flowing. Your silk pajamas are flowing. It's good. And I want them. So.
Can I see the Christian John ones?
They're worse than that.
Let me see.
Way worse.
I don't believe it.
I don't know if I can find them. I don't know if she posted them.
Find them.
I'm just over here thinking about postpartum comfort. Nothing else.
Find them.
Don't ask me if I've thought about, you know, like, how I'm gonna survive.
So, hey, I'm just saying that I may not be the only one. The Archon says, Paul, I just cannot, in all caps, with the wide legs.
Okay, but he's talking about, like,
I hate them.
Men in wide legs.
Michaela Huffman, wide pant legs are not it.
Listen, I am not necessarily talking about for myself. I don't want a bunch of jeans that are wide-legged, although I wouldn't mind a pair or two if they fit really well. But yeah, I can't find it. Who knows?
What was that? Was there some outfits? I thought I was seeing some outfits.
Well, yeah, she was wearing clothes.
Oh, it looked like bedtime.
No.
I mean, it seems like the people are kind of agreeing with me. No to wide legs, Stephanie says. Exactly. Well put, Paul, Catherine says. You know?
I don't, because I definitely was not listening. Okay. Sorry.
Zach Ingram says, is Morgan saying I can wear JNCO jeans again? Do you remember those jeans?
No.
They were just incredibly baggy. Oh, I mean, let's be real. Those were rough.
Okay, like this outfit. That's cute. It's impossible.
Show the camera.
Well, not. It's literally just that viral Free People knit set. It's like the bottoms are cropped, but they're a little wider. And then the looser top, cozy top.
Show the camera.
It's gone.
Okay. There must be a glitch right now on YouTube. It shows that there's four people on. It's like it's gone down drastically, but there's like more people in the comments right
what
now.
What the? Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's only two people on right now.
There's two people on.
That's weird. There's definitely a YouTube glitch.
Wait, let us know if you're on right now still. Let's just see if there's more people than two people.
If we only get two comments.
If we get two comments. No. Mine says two people. Dude, what if it goes down to zero? Right now, if you're on, if you're still here, if you're still here, put a one.
Now it says one.
Put a one. Dude, it says there's one person on. If you're still here.
Abby says mine says 151.
Oh, I was going to say write a number one. Write a one real quick.
On. Hi.
Okay,
I'm
they're here.
On. Yeah, so.
Massive glitch.
YouTube is lying.
Morgan, I bet we can find something with, like, when it comes to pajamas. I feel very confident.
I'm getting those first ones that I showed you.
I like those.
I'm getting those.
I like those better than the second ones. I like those better than the second ones. And all I'm saying is.
And I know that you do because I had the opportunity to get those and I didn't. Because I knew that you wouldn't like them.
You rock, baby girl. All I'm saying is I like a little tapered leg. Call me whatever. I like a little tapered leg. All right,
guess
guys.
Guess what? I like not having to push a baby out of my vagina, but here we are.
Oh, no. Morgan. Morgan, you're not allowed to say
and
that.
For that reason, I'll be wearing my Lotus pajama set.
Is that what they're called, Lotus?
Yes. Oh,
they remind me of Lotus. All right, last question of the stream. Write it in right now. Write in the last question of the stream. Y'all know how this works. Fun, lighthearted. Can't be something too heavy. What's weighing on the last question? You are absolutely the champ, babe.
The haters are going to watch us and be like, I gotta say, he won't even let her wear pajamas that she likes.
All right, what would you call those one, that one matching pink top and bottom? Is that a pajama set?
What one matching pink?
With the wide legs?
That I have?
Uh-huh.
The purple?
Purple.
No, they're not pajamas.
What are those?
It's just a set to wear.
It's not pajamas?
No.
But it's pajama material.
I wore it to church.
No.
Yes.
You wore that to church?
Are we talking about the same thing?
The one that's like a very soft, cottony, kind of flowy material that Chloe had? And you like bought?
Yeah.
The pajama material?
That's not pajama. It was literally like wool.
Woolly pajama.
First of all, I will never be sleeping in wool. You can find me dead before I sleep in wool.
Sounds kind of nice to me.
And second of all, ridiculous.
Morgan, have we seen... They don't know how... Riley doesn't know how the pajamas reminded her of this, but have you seen The Taming of the Shrew?
What? I have not seen that.
You've never seen The Taming of the Shrew?
No.
Riley, I know that name, but I cannot say that I've seen that either. Oh, it's starring Elizabeth Taylor. Maybe that's why. Because isn't Elizabeth Taylor kind of known for...
For what?
Pajamas. She's a fashion icon.
I have no idea.
All right. I'm looking for the last question of the stream. I'll get to E.
Esvins.
Bless you.
Esvins, thank you for your super chat. Hey, P&M. Awesome content. Question for Morgan. Would you have still swiped right on Paul if his Tinder bio said he is dating for marriage?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
That is a good question.
Maddie. Sorry. What?
Yes, I think I would have. Because I kind of probably would have, like, chuckled to myself, honestly. At first, I would have been like, wow, this guy's bold. And then... I would have still probably swiped right. I don't know if you're asking because you maybe have that written in your Tinder bio or you're thinking about writing that in your Tinder bio. I would maybe suggest writing something of like looking for something serious or not here to mess around.
Evans's, I give you permission to write looking for marriage.
Yeah, go for it.
Tinder probably wasn't the best place for that, but other more serious dating apps, they'll get it. The girls will get it.
Oh, yeah. But he asked specifically about Tinder.
All right. Hey, Michaela Huffman.
He or she.
Michaela Huffman says that wool is temperature regulating, and she's down for sleeping in it.
I don't believe it one second.
All right, I'm finding the last question of the stream.
Okay.
It's Evans.
Oh.
And thanks. Evans. It's interesting spelling.
Well.
Is what my reaction is. Let's see.
Yeah, okay. Bumble might be a better option.
Well, that's a good one, Abby. Why do men always use pink and purple interchangeably?
Literally, like, they're very different colors. Like, very. I don't even think I own a single pink thing. Paul owns more pink than I do.
Interesting question by Kennedy.
We still only have 4 people watching with us.
Bummer, dude. That's a record. Mark, interesting question there. Oh, Riley says it's based off a Shakespeare play, and it's Fire. Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking.
All right, any day now.
Okay, all right.
Any day now.
I'd say...
Yeah, this mattress.
Huh?
Nothing.
Let's go with this one.
Okay.
Octavia B. Oh, that's an interesting one as well.
Okay.
Man, you guys are writing in some good ones now. Octavia B. asks, this is a simple one. Octavia B. asks, what's your favorite coffee order? And this can go for, you know, any type of drink. Favorite coffee order.
But it's about coffee.
Yeah, but it's like you go to a coffee shop, what do you order?
Right.
You go to a coffee shop.
So you're probably going to get some coffee.
Maybe not, though. You know, because if I'm going to a coffee shop, I might get something
different.
Well, I'm about to say, in the comments right now, what is your favorite coffee order? Thank you for the question, Octavia.
Tell you mine because I only got one.
Oh.
Iced caramel macchiato.
But you ordered something else the other day, didn't you?
Well, yes. I wanted something without caffeine and I wanted something refreshing. So I went through the drive-thru at Starbucks and I was like, do your all's refreshers have caffeine in them? And she said, yeah, a lot.
I was like,
oh, dang. Like, can I get them without caffeine? She's like, no, it's already, like, mixed into the base that we use. She's like, but I can make you, like, something different. She's like, I'll just wing it. And I was like, oh, okay. So she was like, are you feeling more of, like, the pink drink vibes or the lemonade vibes? And actually, before I could even answer, she just answered for me. It was like, let's do the pink drink vibes. And I was like, okay, I was going for lemonade, but sure. No. So she made me something. It was like passion tea with coconut milk and a pump of vanilla or something. And it was very good. Very light, refreshing, not very sweet, and no caffeine. It was just what I wanted. And she gave it to me for free. She was like, because you let me experiment, this is on me.
That is cool.
Yes.
I got mad respect. See me being positive again? Mad respect for that lady. Just having fun with it, getting creative, and the color of that drink was really cool.
It was very pretty.
Let's see what they're saying.
But yeah, iced caramel macchiato anywhere, everywhere, but Scooter's is my favorite. Oh, it's so good. Tomorrow there's their buy one, get one.
Where is Scooter's?
Yeah, me and Maddie are going to get one.
Do they do it like weekly or what?
No, weekly.
Oh, that works.
It's just their 1-year anniversary.
Oh, nice.
So they're celebrating.
Here's what they're saying. I will be honest, I have not really been a coffee guy for several years now.
It's true.
So I will see which one I like the most out of what you guys are writing in. We got Aaron with a lavender iced latte. Sounds interesting. The Archon says, a real coffee shop, a blank latte, just milk and espresso.
Boring.
Anything that's not coffee, Riley says, caramel iced latte. Olga says, that's similar to what you were saying.
Yeah, it's pretty much just shaken up instead of the milk being like poured in.
Nice. Mark Moore says, I got hot chocolate the one time I got a drink from Starbucks. Simple.
Zach says, I tried black coffee with butter recently, and that was pretty good.
That just seems desperate.
Desperate? That sounds interesting.
Desperate times call for desperate mushrooms.
That sounds interesting, Zach. Iced with caramel cream and sugar. Yum. Oat hot chocolate. Strawberry acai. Refresher or iced caramel macchiato, Octavia says.
Those are my two orders.
There you go. Man, you guys are similar in that department, Octavia. Roman Panda says, iced brown sugar latte with whole milk. I feel like we're like...
I haven't been able to get behind the like brown sugar lattes. I don't know. They just don't do it for me.
That sounds good to me.
I it wasn't bad, but I was like, needs to be sweeter. This is my thing. I don't drink coffee very much because I only like it very sweet. So really, I'm drinking sugar more than coffee. I have cut back. I used to get an iced caramel macchiato from Starbucks, tall. And I think they do 3 pumps of vanilla. And I would ask for 3 more. Now I don't ask for any. So that's pretty good.
That makes me think of Elisha when he says, there's death in that pot. I don't know if he said it or the other people he was with, but... The water that they had drawn from wherever, oh, there was death in that pot. Goodness. There's death in that cup, in that Starbucks cup. Maddie likes cold brews or when they have fun flavored, fun flavored creams on them. Starbucks new honey almond milk with flat white. Milk flat white. Milk flat. Milk flat white.
Milk flat white.
Milk flat white. Cassie says they're you and her are twins again.
Nice.
Michaela says pumpkin caramel latte once a year, LOL.
Once a year.
Maya says hot cappuccino with extra milk, cinnamon, and honey.
Not bad.
But no, I prefer not to take years off my life and to have some money in my wallet, so I... pass
never drinks
most of the time. But actually, when I was writing my book and I would go to coffee shops a lot, mm-hmm. I would very often get, I'm not sure who said it, but it was similar what someone said, I would do a iced coffee and get a pump of, hear me out, banana.
So weird. Why?
And with that, we bid you adieu.
Oh my goodness. What would it take for me to get you to go through a drive-thru at Starbucks with me and order a legit coffee drink? What would have to happen for that to happen?
So we're talking like full sugar.
Love. One of my love languages is food. Okay. And like enjoying food with people that I love. And so, like, the thought of going to a Starbucks and ordering a coffee drink with Paul is, like, thrilling to me. We've never done that.
I'm sure we can make that happen. I'm not saying,
you actually drink it.
I'm not saying tomorrow, but I think we could. So, you really like when we go to nice restaurants and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so do I.
And, like, you order, like, a dessert.
See, like when we go big.
Yeah. Or you get like a Coke or a Mountain Dew, whatever.
Which doesn't happen often.
Like, yeah. We went to this pizza place a month ago. And I knew we were going to get a yummy pizza, but I got a Coke. And he ordered, what did you get, root beer? And I was like,
very odd.
I don't know what it is, but that's me.
Love you, baby. I'm sure we can make that happen one day. And we got plenty of good meals ahead of us.
Yes.
We love you guys.
Surely.
We love you guys. Once again, hop into the comment section because I would, in all seriousness, really be curious. Like, do this after we push in video. Go to the main comment section. Let's get those comments going. And just share, because I think... kind of some of the stuff we said in this video is not necessarily what you're going to hear in a lot of Christians' reactions to the Stronger Men's Conference Mark Driscoll event. Mm-hmm. And so I would just be curious to know, like, where you guys fall. Are we just prudes? Am I allowed to say that? Is that a bad word?
I don't think so.
Are we just Christian prudes that should...
Now you're making me doubt.
Is that a bad word?
No, I don't think prude is a bad word. It's just like an old English word.
Are we Christian negative prudes, or are
keep on saying it?
Or are we on to something? Where do you guys fall? Seriously,
let us know.
All right, from two prudes to youds. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. Shout out to the patrons and all of you guys that joined us today. Get ready. I think it'll be next week that we got the next episode, and that means that we'll have the patron extended edition watch party early release several days before the actual drop, and you guys won't want to miss this one. Love you guys. Be blessed. We'll see you again very soon. Have hope
and be very
Hey guys, as you may have noticed, we get very few brand deals. A big reason for that is because we make unashamedly Christian content.
We've had brand deals taken away from us because people who don't like us reach out to them and demand that they cancel us.
Due to the fact that we stand on what the Bible says and we don't conform to culture.
Which is why our patrons, the names you see here, are so important.
You guys really are the lifeblood of this ministry. We could not do it without you all.
If you guys believe in this content and you want to partner with us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/PaulandMorganShow or click the link in the description.
Go team. That was the one.